most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provided tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business in in their field. And our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. So you have to tune in every single week. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you can do that by going to the LA Talk Radio website. And the address is latalkradio.com, latalkradio.com. If you're listening to the show live, you're already there. You just click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. And this takes you directly to the archive page, and there you can view the list of past guests. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes, and we are under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there will be all of our shows also so that you can download or listen to them as well. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest and visit our official Question Reality website directly that has guests that are past and also in the future, you can go to questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And I want to thank everybody for emailing and calling in and making our show so popular. I am booked with guests until March. Can you believe it? I mean, it used to be 6 months in advance. Now it just keeps moving. Pretty soon I'm going to be booked a year in advance. And that's kind of good. It's kind of bad because by the time March comes, people forget they're on the show. So, you know, well, I just have to call them and remind them or email them. So if you're on a March show, just kind of make a little note and write it down. A lot of people forget to write it down, so make sure you write it down. Now, we have a fantastic guest, as we do every week on the show today. Her name is Mara Merrick, and she is a comedian and a hostess, and we are going to learn all about her a little bit later. She is here with us today to tell us how to become a comedian, and a lot of people wrote in. The comedians do seem to be the popular people. I think I get more questions from my fans about the comedians than singers and actors. I can't believe it. And oh, actually, directors are running a close second here. But let's talk about things around town and find out what we can get ourselves into or sign up for. Now, get your pen and paper, because we've got a lot of stuff to tell you about today. First, Saturday, September the 17th. Now, this is very exciting for me. Again, Saturday, September 17th at 7:30 for one night only. Oh, I love that. I've always wanted to appear for one night only. I don't know why. I don't know what I'd be doing, but I wanted to have one night only somewhere in my life. Okay, Saturday, September 17th at 7:30 for one night only, Master Impressionist Jim Meskimen. Yes, you heard it right. Jim Meskimen is going to be bringing his new show, Jimpressions, to the historic Capitol Theater in the Cleveland Street District in downtown Clearwater, Florida. I don't know where that is, but it sounds exciting. Now, you may not recognize Jim Meskimen by name. I certainly do, and a lot of people in his arena do. But let's just talk about it if you haven't. You have actually delighted in his performances for years. He's been in supporting roles in 5 Ron Howard films, from Apollo 13 to Frost Nixon, and he is a very, very respected voice actor and impressionist whose celebrity voices have been heard on television shows like Parks and Recreation, The Tonight Show, Late Night with David Letterman, and Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I know that you may have seen this. I'm going to say you might have seen it. I'm going to say I think you saw it. All right. No, you definitely did. Okay. Jim's recent viral YouTube video was entitled Shakespeare Impressions, and it passed 500,000 hits in 1 month. And I know you saw it. It was Jim doing various voices, celebrity voices, also political voices, while quoting Shakespeare. I mean, I actually – my husband brought that video to me, and we were just blown away. I said, oh, my God, this guy is phenomenal, not knowing that I would be meeting him a little bit later because it turns out he's a friend of a friend. And I tried to book him for my birthday party in November, but you know that's not happening, my God. But, hey, you can try. He has this act, Jim Impressions, which consists of 2 acts of comedy, songs, and stories from his career. And again, it's called Jim Impressions, and it's kind of chock full of celebrity voices, and he does more than 65 impressions in the first act alone. So you are going to get your money's worth, by God. And if you want to find out further any information about it, you want to go to the website, which is I'm going to spell this because I'm not actually sure how it's pronounced, RUTHECKHERDHALL.com. Rud Heck Herd Hall. RUTHECKHERDHALL.com for more information, or you can call area code 727-791-7400. And Jim would also like you to know that you can do your own impressions. I always had a secret desire to do voices, but it's really, really hard. Well, he actually makes it simple. He has a blog. It's a new blog he just started, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of his ebook, which is entitled Accept Imitations, A Beginner's Guide to Doing Impressions, and it can be viewed on his website, and that is meskimen.wordpress.com, and that's meskimen.wordpress.com. And lastly, I'm going to tell you about Jim. I read somewhere when I was looking him up. Again, I found out from a mutual friend that he might possibly be available for my birthday party. So I went looking him up, and I saw somewhere that he is the son of Marion Ross. Now, most people in my age bracket know who Marion Ross is, but you would have seen her play Ron Howard's mother on the mega hit show from the 70s, Happy Days. So that was very exciting. So I went back and I looked at him, and sure enough, he looks similar to her. So I will have to confirm that with him. But that must be very exciting, because I know when I was little, I wanted Ron Howard's mother, Richie Cunningham's mother, to be my mother. Every time my mother would get me mad, I'm like, I don't want you as a mother. I want Richie Cunningham's mother. So there you go. All right. So Jim Meskimen, and he also is going to have a show at the Acting Center September the 9th. So you can catch him there. I will be at that show. That show is going to be fantastic. So check it out at the Acting Center in LA. Okay. ActingCenter.com, I believe it is. Now, September the 13th, the Writers Guild Foundation and Variety present Sublime Primetime 2011 Emmy Nominees Panel. Emmy nominees, Matt Hubbard of 30 Rock, Jason Katims of Friday Night Lights, Stephen Leviton, and Jeffrey Richman of Modern Family, and also Bina Sud of The Killing, are going to discuss their craft, their nominated projects, and the business of writing for television. And this price includes the reception. Again, Tuesday, September 13th at 7:30 at the Writers Guild Theater. And that's 135 South Doheny Drive, Beverly Hills. And it is a steal of a price. It's only $10 to $20. So if you're interested in that, you want to check it out. The website address is wgfoundation.org. WG for Writers Guild Foundation.org. Now, September the 15th to the 18th, there is a Creative Screenwriting Magazine Expo. It's called the Screenwriting Expo, and it features more than 150 classes, workshops, Q&As, and panels with speakers that are currently in business. And it also features the Golden Pitch Festival, where you meet one-on-one with the representatives from studios. They have A-list production companies there, the agents, managers, management companies. And again, that's September the 15th to the 18th, and that's going to be at the Westin LAX Hotel, 5400 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. And that also is a very, very reasonable price, $99.95 to $299.95. And you want to check that website out, screenwritingexpo.com. On the 21st, September the 21st, Edward Skirbelis Entertainment presents, now this is a really good one, Creating a Production Company. It's a six-week online workshop, and it begins the 21st to October 26th. It's only $350, and you want to check that out at esentertainment.net, esentertainment.net /workshops. For all of you who've been doing productions independently and just say, you know what, I just want to do a production company, I actually am thinking about doing that as well. Next is Fine Directors Lab, which the deadline is on October the 3rd. Now, Film Independent presents this 2012 Directors Lab. It's an intensive eight-week program running in Los Angeles in February and March. And what it is it's designed to help directors who are prepping their feature films with the primary focus to learn to work with actors and the rehearsal process, which I think every director should know. So it really does help the production overall. The deadline to apply is Monday, October the 3rd. And again, Film Independent, it's at 9911 Pico Boulevard, 11th floor, Los Angeles. And it's $55 for members, $75 for non-members, and the website filmindependent.org, and you can find that out. And lastly, which is my favorite part of our little announcements today, there is a program called Laptops Give Hope. And as you know, or you can imagine, without a computer, it's very difficult to apply for work or stay employed because we are in a connected world. Well, there is a program, Robin Rowe of Screenplay Labs, he started up, and what they do is they take unneeded, obsolete laptops, they wipe them, they install new software, and they give them to people who are struggling in Hollywood who desperately need a laptop in order to better their situation. And that could be anyone from actors to people who are just trying to feed their children. So if you'd like to help by donating an old laptop, please let me know or go to the website screenplaylabs.com, and I will make sure that they get to Robin Rowe, who is in charge of this program. Again, screenplaylabs.com. So there you go. Lots of information today, by God. Now we get to the fun part. Let's talk about Mara Merrick, who has been patiently sitting by while I go over all of these advertisements to pay and put bread and butter on the table. But let's get to Mara Merrick. All right, let's see. Let me tell you a little better. She has a formal education in economics and engineering, but has had a marketing and fitness career since graduation. She started entertaining the masses while she was on this fitness show in San Diego, where she would take a client in real time through their weight loss journey. And her secret weapon was her humor. She found out that if she kept it fun, that these people would want to be there. And it worked. And through this, she had an epiphany. She realized that her dream was to be be a stand-up comic. So she made the big move to Los Angeles to pursue that dream. And since then, she's appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and she's also a regular in the L.A. comedy scene. She's all over town, so you will definitely be able to find her. And we are going to talk to her now about her journey and her life as a stand-up comic. So welcome, Mara Merrick. Are you sleeping?
I'm not. You've been keeping me very entertained. Even through the commercials. You must have been a cheerleader one time in your life.
Well, you know what? I certainly was. I was for about 3 months until they told me I couldn't eat my damn Snickers bars. And they're like, oh, is that a roll on your side? Are you gaining weight? I'm like, why, yes, I am. And that was it. They were going to take away my chocolate.
That has to be the only thing in your diet. You just can't have anything else, and that's how it's going to work.
I'm so glad you turned to the dark side, Mara Merrick, taking people from weight loss to now weight gain. Thank you for coming to the dark side with me, my God. Now, we had so many people right in, like, they wanted to ask so many questions, and we are going to get to those, but I like to start out with this one question, because I think, and I have always found it fascinating, of what a person wanted to be when they were little and what they ended up being. Sometimes it's exactly, some weirdos can actually plan their life from birth. I don't know, but I just like to find out. When you were a small little itsy bitsy teeny weeny Mara Merrick child, what career did you see yourself pursuing?
I absolutely thought I was going to be a personal trainer. I had the pamphlet for this school in Hawaii in between my mattress forever, and I would look at it all the time.
So you knew you wanted to be a – oh, my God. So I guess we – oh, well, that is so – you know, it's cool, but for all of us who didn't know what the hell we wanted to do, it's like, God, how do these damn people know what they wanted to do? So you knew what you wanted to do. I think – fascinating, and I think it's great that someone can realize that, because it saves a lot of time in your life. It really does.
It does,
a lot of
people I fought it, though, because I still went through formal education in mathematics, economics, and then further into chemical engineering, which was dumb, but, you know, whatever.
There's no education that ever goes unnoticed and unneeded, I think. Now, what, when you were a little child and you wanted to do this, what steps did you take to pursue this at the time of your career dream? To become
When I was little, I was so oblivious to taking steps. I rode my bike. I was a tomboy. That's as close as I got to taking a step towards, do you mean towards comedy? or do you mean towards fitness?
Career. You first realized you wanted to be a fitness trainer, and then that led to comedy. So I don't know if you took steps. How did you fall into becoming a fitness trainer first?
After I graduated from college, I started professional cycling. Like the Tour de France, but I was cycling. But you don't make a lot of money doing that, so I needed to do something where I was in a gym. So I actually naturally fell into working in the fitness industry. And I was working in management and started training myself to become an athletic trainer.
Now, having a college education, what is your viewpoint on having a college education in a different career field as a backup plan if you are pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, specifically the career of a comedian? How do you think it helps, hurts, doesn't matter? What's your viewpoint?
I don't know if it matters. I think it's a per-person situation. Mine is in mathematics. I think musicians and artists are very math-focused in life, and those two careers are intertwined. But if you also have communications or business management, or that will also apply to entertainment, because that's the one thing I think in this industry people are kind of lacking, is a little bit of treating themselves as their business, as their asset, and then making it profitable, you know, kind of looking at it as your business entity instead of, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. It makes sense to everybody else. Yeah, I'm going to assume so. That is perfectly normal to me. What five characteristic traits do you feel that it takes to be a successful comedian? Because a lot of people don't realize that you can want to be a lot of different things, but you do have to have the characteristic traits that flow with that particular career. If you are introverted and shy, I don't know if you should really pursue a career as, say, maybe a street performer, or maybe you can. Some people say that you have to have characteristic traits that actually are compatible with a career field. Now, talking about comedian, what five characteristic traits do you feel that it would take to be a successful comedian?
Well, I do feel like most comedians are shy. I do feel like they are socially a little bit more awkward than most. But I do feel like they have to have perseverance, persistence, for sure. Because going up on that stage is tough. I mean, you go up in front of your fellow comedians day after day, and you have to remember this: I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing this for the other comedians. This is my time to work, which it's tough because you're being judged. So you have to be, you also have to be a little oblivious to that. You have to be a little resilient. There's two right there. You do have to have some networking skills. This is a world of who you know. So you need to do that. And it's also a world of what you know. And just like Oprah says, gotta go back to Oprah, give her a little plug. It's luck is where opportunity meets planning, proper planning. That's where luck comes in. So those are my five.
Now, you had said that you feel that a lot of comedians are shy, but if you are a shy person by nature, how does one network and market? Because you really do have to have a certain level of charm and be a little bit clever in order to network. Because it's a lot about humor. You got to be able to break the ice, and usually what does that is humor. So if you're a really shy person, isn't that going to be a little hard for you to do?
Oh, absolutely. Your path is going to take so much longer. You have to force yourself. If you're shy, you have to do it. It's just like doing laundry. You don't want to do laundry, you just have to do it, or else you're going to stink. So if you don't want to network and you don't do it, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and I have found that a lot of people choose careers and they think it's their dream, but they don't necessarily have all of the characteristic traits to do that. And it's a shame and it's sad, but there are classes that you can take to become more extroverted and learn how to market and network, because that really is so key in any business, not just entertainment. People just tend to gravitate, and you will move up the ladder or move to the upper echelon if you do have networking abilities, correct?
Or if you have an awesome agent or manager who can do that for you, who sees your talent and says, you know what, I'm going to make him a rising star. He can be an awkward little duck all he wants, and I will do the rest, would be the key.
That is definitely dream, but you got to find somebody that really, really believes in you, because a lot of times agents won't take you on unless you all – it's a catch-22. They want you to already have an established career because they don't want to waste time on you, because they don't feel that you've worked hard enough for them. There's certain types of agents. There's the agent, I think, that wants someone that's already established their career so that they don't have to do too much work. And then there's the agent that says – what you just said, I see untapped talent here, and I'm going to work my ass off to get this person.
It's kind of like the girl that takes on that dates the guy that's really bad for them. They're like, I'm going to change him and mold him.
Yeah. Exactly. I know.
I need to find that manager. I need to find them.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And Unfortunately, that takes us back to the networking marketing skills. And to approach an agent, you've got to have a tough hide, because I tell you, depending on where you are and what the situation is, a lot of agents just I find that they're, you know, their eyes dart all over the place. You know, they don't really want to take the time. It's like who you know. It really is kind of tough out here. I don't want people to think coming from a small town that they're going to come out here because they're a big fish in a small pond, because a lot of people do become very, what is the word I'm looking for? They're not very impressed with the people's attitudes when they come here from the Midwest, and they're so nice and friendly and genuine, and then they have to deal with people that are not so much so. For that, right?
Well, if that was so easy, then there were a lot more people would make it, but it's
exactly.
Not. It's not that easy.
Exactly.
It's very, very hard.
It really is. So you gotta roll with the punches out here. Don't take anything personally. Now, what have been your personal trials and tribulations or ups and downs of being a comedian? Oh, and that comes from Gladys from Sarasota, Florida. What are your trials and tribulations? Hi, Gladys. What are your trials and tribulations or ups and downs of being a comedian?
It's a casual environment, and sometimes for me, I do take it very serious, and I want it to be my career. And then sometimes there is a lot of drinking involved, and there is a lot of fun and partying. And I'm a cheerleader. I love to be involved. I love to have fun and be involved in the fun and be included. And I get lost in that. Sometimes I'm like, oh yeah. This is work. And then I get very upset with myself because I swayed too far the other way. And then as you can hear from my voice, yes, I do. I am very hard on myself when it goes to that.
That's
okay.
This
is not just fun. This is for real.
No, we like it, because I know I'm not the only person that's heard that comedians are a little bit dark. I have lots of friends who are married to comedians, and when I meet them, they're the life of the party and fun, and they're on. But then I talk to my friends, and they're like, oh, you don't know what it's like. They're so moody. They're so dark. And I say, oh, well, why'd you marry him? Oh, he's so funny. And I'm thinking, okay. So,
you know,
I guess somebody
I'm starting to
for a joke.
Sorry, I guess what I just kind of figured this out a couple of weeks ago. When you're on stage and you are making everyone laugh and you're having an amazing set, you get this high that's just awesome. And it's, you know, it just is for a couple of minutes at a time. And then you get off the stage and you're not on the stage anymore and you crash. And so that's a lot of the reason why I think, for this is a personal bias, of why people are a little bit more bitter off stage. And yes, they are.
I've heard that a lot. So maybe people out there who want to be a comedian, if people say that you're dark and moody and cynical and sarcastic, there might be a career for you in comedy. There you go. Hope is not lost. You can still find a mate. Go into comedy. Now, our next question comes from Barry from Baltimore. Oh, that sounds like an act already. Barry from Baltimore says, what is the most important thing to learn about the business side of being a comedian? I don't want to be poor. Okay, Barry.
All right. You know, Michael J. Fox drove his Honda Accord for the first 4 years of being a very successful actor, and did not spend any. He was so frugal, and he was becoming more and more famous every year, and still drove this ratty little car. If you don't want to be poor, you need to keep a day job, and you need to stay organized, and you need to be the most frugal person you've ever met. So that's it.
Wow. And who did you say? I did not catch the name of who you were talking about. What comedian were you talking
about? Michael J. Fox.
Oh, really? I can totally see him doing that. I really can. I can see him doing that.
He just seems so responsible.
Yes, exactly. Now, This comes from Linda from Dallas, Texas. Hey, y'all. All right. What do you feel is the best route to take if you want to pursue a career in comedy? Well, this is long. If you are in the following phases of life, teenager, middle-aged, and senior. Oh, my. All right, you take that, Mara. Go ahead. I don't know what the hell that means.
But go ahead. All right, Dallas. Okay, here we go. You challenge us. Okay, so teenager, check with your parents, and you're going to have to probably stay local unless you're super talented and they want to fly you out and be like Amanda Bynes. That's a good reference. Check out her career. What's the next one? Mid-20s, 30s?
If you want to start a career and you're middle-aged.
Oh, middle-aged? Wouldn't middle-aged be like 50? Am I confused on that?
I think 50's the new 40. So you have to say 40, 50.
You just need to start hitting your open mics. If you're going to start, you need to start going to open mics and just go up. You need to go with 3 minutes of story, which turns into material, which turns into, you know, whatever. And Phyllis Diller, how old was she when she started? 62?
I think 40. And she, 47 something, I'm not sure. But
really?
I know she was a housewife, I know that. And she had never even worked a job. I know
that. From just being a housewife, that must have just absolutely given her so much material.
Exactly, which is, I like how you're saying material, because you do have to write your thoughts down. Now, carry a pen and paper with you everywhere. If you're a laptop person, I'm old school pen and paper, but if you're a laptop person, carry your laptop. You think of something funny, write it down. Christ, you can just go to a Starbucks and see all the people scrounging for scraps. And I mean, I'm talking about looking for, like, to get laid, and that's material right there. I mean, you can go on a bus, and there is some serious damn material looking at people on a bus. Am I right, Mara? Everybody is a potential subject for your humor, correct?
Oh, heck yes. Yes. My material, I only talk about, it sounds confused, I only talk about my own experiences. I try not to, I'm like they call me the baby Jesus of comedy, because I always am really positive. It's really annoying. But I only say like negative things about myself.
You're only getting the grain of being a dark comedian, of being a comedian, which is dark now, Mara Merrick. What's going on? Are you happy little Linda, which of the East comedian? You're only saying nice things? No, I think that's really nice. I've actually not witnessed that, so I'm going to have to come and see you. Nice thing.
You should.
I will. Now, what if you're a senior? I think that still applies for the middle age, because older people have so many life experiences. And you also, if you're a senior, hopefully, thank God, you're in a position where you are getting an income from your retirement, Social Security. So you'll be able to eat some food. You'll have a roof over your head, and you can pursue a career that you always wanted. I think being a senior is an excellent opportunity to become a comic.
At the Laugh Factory right down the street from me, there's a gentleman who is in his 80s that goes up every Tuesday to try and get a regular spot there, and he's been doing that for a while now, and he's kicking it, so why not?
I love it. He's kicking it at 80. And even if nothing ever becomes of your career and you don't make the Jim Carrey A-list comedian status, you are still pursuing a dream, even if it's a hobby. And sometimes you might just have to settle for something as being a hobby. But at least you're doing it, correct? At least you're doing
it. Oh, my God. I've never been, you know, I had a high-level executive job before, and now I work for myself for only a few clients during the day for my day job, and I've never been happier. I have less income, but I've never been happier as a human being than when I've been working all day and doing comedy all night.
I love that, because I think that if you go into the entertainment industry, any business really, but in the entertainment industry specifically, thinking, you know, I'm feeding my soul, I'm feeding my mind and my spirit, this is for personal development. If you start out with that mentality, you're not going to be as disappointed, because every day that you do what you love, you are feeding your soul and your spirit, and you are working on your personal development. But a lot of people come out here thinking they're going to be a star and a celebrity. And when you come to LA or New York with that mentality, you are going to crash and burn. Am I right, Mara?
Oh my gosh, don't you think that's why the Charlie Sheenism happened, with the you know, the craziness? Your expectations of what's happening are out of whack, and then you yourself go crazy? Because out here there's constant rejection, but you don't even know about it. Like casting calls, you go in and you audition for something, they give you zero feedback, and you don't get the part 9 times out of 10, and you leave, and you're like, I'll never know.
It does, because you don't know if you're good, you're not good. And a lot of people that I always highly recommend that as an actor, that you go to workshops, because you get in front of the people, casting directors that you need to be in front of, who are going to see you. And that really is the best way. But a lot of actors, myself included, have gone to the workshops. We pay our little $40 ranges, $40 to $75, depending on who the casting person is. You get up there, you do your scene. Now, granted, this is not a casting workshop. You're not up there to it's kind of an understood thing in the business. You go to these workshops, and they do have to give the announcement, this is not an employment opportunity, blah 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 blah. But in ipso facto, it is, because if you get up there and you are a phenomenally talented person, that casting person is going to call you in to read for a project that they're working on. That's just the bottom line. But if you get up there and you pay your little $40 and you're expecting that to happen, most of the time, even if you're a phenomenally gifted actor, they're going to say, great, that was great, thanks, and that's all you're going to get. Sometimes the casting people do go into little details and ask you to do the scene again. A lot of people get inspired by that, but that could also mean that you just didn't do it right the first time and they're trying to correct you. So you can't really read into it, and that's what I think Mara is talking about. It's very, very hard. So we had another comedian on the show and asked his opinion about the importance of joke writing, specifically how important it is to keep the joke secret until you do the routine. So I want to also pose that question to you and hopefully get some additional perspective, because I would imagine jokes, how does that work? Because sometimes I hear the same joke, but excuse me, based on the deliverance, it completely has a different meaning. How do you feel about that?
Oh my gosh, you can be.
Do you not keep secret? What's going on with that?
Well, you have to have, I personally have to have feedback on things. I do joke write every day. I try to take what's working and expand it. I mean, I have a love for peanut butter, and I could talk about it for right now about 12 minutes straight, and I probably could talk about it for 20 more minutes if I keep working on it every day. So I'm right with you. That's why we're best friends, Priscilla. You look
well,
sicker, I look even better.
I hear you. I agree 100%. I'm with you. You got to get your material out. I mean, there's really no way to keep it secret. I mean, you should never. Oh my God. I have heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I have heard that in the world of comedy, it's just a known thing that you don't steal jokes from other comedians. That's like
it's a known courtesy. It's a known courtesy that you don't steal jokes. Correct. It happens often. But
yes.
You're not supposed to do it.
That is like saying Macbeth in the theater, people. You just don't do it. You don't do it. It's bad luck. Okay, we had how does an aspiring – oh, this comes from Tom from Sarasota, Florida. Oh, another Sarasota, Florida person. Oh, my God, I must be a hit in Sarasota. Okay, so Tom says – how does an aspiring Dear Mara, I have to say that. Dear Mara, how does an aspiring comedian like me find a comedic persona? Are there any tried and true steps to find your groove, so to speak? Okay, Tom.
Yes.
Here you go, Mara.
Tom. Hi, dear Tom. Yes, there are tried and true steps. When you finally are just yourself on stage, or if you're trying to do a character, it all depends on what you're trying to do. And you just go up and you keep practicing. It's like learning how to throw a football. You just go out there and every day you throw it a little bit more and further and straighter and with more spin. It's the same thing. You just apply it to your comedy bone.
Let me expand on that. Is there such a thing as a guaranteed style of comedy? For example, political and environmental, they never seem to go out of style. You can always get some good jokes from that type, from that subject matter. Do you believe there's a guaranteed style? What do you think?
I think that there's, right now, I feel like politics, yes, there's always a good message in that. I think Cat Williams does a great job of that. And of course, all the greats have a great message. Race is a big one still, and rape seems to be a huge joke right now that people are getting a lot of material out of, and abortion is a big one, but I guess that would go back to politics or religion. So
I think the only one can get away with race is, what is that woman's name? Oh my God, she's I had to try five times to watch her before I could really accept her humor. What is the lady? She's a white lady, and she's always talking about Lisa Lampanelli. Took me five attempts before I could deal with Lisa Lampanelli. It was only upon being forced, like threatened, to watch her could I get through her show. And then I was like, wait a minute, she's sitting here saying all this stuff, which when I first heard it, I was aghast. I couldn't believe it. My mouth was to the floor. But I'm looking at her audience members, and these are the people coming to see her who are, you know, the Jewish people, the gay people, the black people, the Puerto Rican people, all the people that she just tears up. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this woman is a racist, but that's part of her act. It's a persona. And these people that she's talking about, they're her biggest fans.
You obviously it only happened 20 seconds ago, but you said it last. The last question, is there like a way that you say things, or is there how you do it? The way that Lisa does it, she doesn't have, you know, she might say racist things, but she has no ill intention behind what she's saying. She's not racist. So what she's saying is funny, and what she's saying is not, I don't think, a lot of it is coming off as, I don't know. But I know that her delivery is amazing. I know that she is a tried and true comedian. She paved the way also for a lot of vulgar females that are now emerging.
you don't even know. It was hard for me to get through it, but when I got through that show, I am like a Lisa Lampanelli fanatic now. I think she is one of the – I had tears rolling out of my eyes. This woman was so funny. I cannot get enough of her. I watched both of her specials on Comedy Central. She is just funny as anything. And I personally, as a general rule for myself, I find self-deprecating humor to be the funniest of anything. I would rather talk about myself and my thoughts personally than talk about somebody else's making fun of someone else. Just like you do more of good humor, I like the self-deprecating things. But I really love her style of humor, because this is what she's saying are her thoughts, but they're not. But she's able to pull them off. off and we actually can believe her. So just a phenomenal, phenomenal talent. We could talk about Lisa Lampanelli forever. I just want to see Lisa Lampanelli get roasted. I don't know if she has been, but somebody needs to do it. Okay, so what are some of the exciting things coming up for you? I know you got a lot of stuff coming up. Tell us a little bit about what where you're going to be performing, what you're doing. Tell us all the excitement going on, Mara Merrick.
Well, this Friday we have a really fun show. If anyone's in the Hollywood, LA area, we are at Sal's Comedy Hall. Sal is renovating a huge space, but right now we're using the front area. It's going to be a gorgeous 200-seater. So every Friday I'm there, but this Friday I'm performing with Theo Vaughn, who is a tried and true comedian from MTV. He's also a host, past actor on MTV. Mark Long is a guest host. He's my neighbor, and who's also on MTV, Fox Reality, E! News, just everything. And Nicole Amy, who is from Jimmy, she was on Jimmy Kimmel Live as well, and she's also been at the Improv. And then her and I are going to be doing some touring at the end of this month in the Midwest, so Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. So end of September, beginning of October, and our dates are almost solidified, but we know we're going to be there. We have our tickets. We often go to Las Vegas, and those are on – I get booked there a lot, and those are on my website, maralive.com, little plug.
Mara, and, MARAMAREK.com. Let me just put that out. MARAMAREK.com. That is a celebrity name if I've ever heard one. Sorry. So I know. Is that your real name, Mara Merrick? That
it
sounds
really
like a
is.
It really is. It's a great name.
Thanks, Dan.
For people who did not get the mass email that went out with a picture of our gorgeous Mara Merrick, this woman, I swear, I'm going to have to embarrass you for a minute. You are stunningly gorgeous. Why were you, you have beautiful features, beautiful eyes, your hair, I mean, your skin, just a beautiful, beautiful woman. At least, I don't know, maybe you Adobe Photoshopped those pictures. I don't know, but you're looking damn good. So I was just thinking, were you ever approached to be a model or?
I have been a model, yes. I have done a lot of modeling in my day.
Now, there you go. You got to come see her show just to see how hot she is, because she's a smoking hot comedian. You don't find too many of those, am I right? Well, you can't say that, but it's true. I mean, you don't see too many hot comedians, and Mara Merrick is a hot comedian. So on your website, I was looking at your upcoming shows. By the way, that link to LA Talk Radio does not work, and nobody is going to get to go and listen to your show. You got to fix that. I'm going to send you the link after the show because everybody's going to want to hear this. I noticed that on the 6th, September the 6th, you are going to be at the Coffee Table Lounge.
With Franchi Sanpedro. I love him.
Do you know that in the late 90s, early 2000s, I must have produced about, I'd say, 50 shows there. I used to have comedians come. I used to have musicians come there. The performance area is right by the window. I don't know if it's still there. But yeah, right by the window, right? So people walking by would be waving and shaking their thing and, shaking their package at us. But yeah, I used to book a lot of shows at the Coffee Table Lounge. It's a lovely venue, a great area for performing. So check her out on September the 6th.
Priscilla, I have to tell you something about that place. What? I was wearing short shorts there last time because it was really hot out. And that was the first time I performed there, and the window was an issue because I was like sort of bending forward, telling a story, getting really into it. And then I turned around because everyone was looking behind me. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know there was a window there.
Yeah, everybody, it's this really great coffee shop, and but you perform in an area where there's the giant window display, so you definitely don't want to wear anything too short there. But it's a great venue. I'm so glad they're still doing doing performances over there, because it was a great venue. I always had the place packed. I mean, you couldn't even get in there. But, you know, you got to move on, so we went to other places. Oh, and now on the 9th, September the 9th, you're going to be at Sal's Comedy Hole in Los Angeles. And your show is at 8:30 there, and on September the 15th, you're going to be at Flapper's Comedy Club at 9 p.m. So
I'll be right by you.
Yes! Oh, my God. Well, yeah. Technically, yes. Absolutely. I would highly recommend you go to see Mara. I haven't heard you yet, but I know that you're good. And the reason is I read that blog on your homepage. I recommend you go to her website right now, maramerrick.com. And the blog is titled EYE, wanted to emphasize that I am the biggest cock blocker. I love that blog. I love it. And I find that reading your stuff is just too funny. You really make me laugh. So if just reading it makes me laugh, I can imagine how funny you are in person. So I want to wish you all the best in your career, Mara, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have given the audience so much material, and now they can go off and pursue their own little career and follow in the footsteps of Mara Merrick. Is there anything else you want to say, Mara Merrick? I love that name. I'm going to call you Mara Merrick even after I meet you. Anything else you want to say to our audience, or anything, you know, coming up exciting that you want to add?
Oh, my gosh, no, but if you guys that are listening are going to be trying to be – comedians, go for it. Just don't give up. If you really want it, don't give up. That's it. But thanks for listening.
If Mara Merrick can do it, if she can do it, has a degree in engineering, was a fitness trainer, and she got there, you can get there too. So, Mara Merrick, God bless you. I wish you all the best. We are going to be – add me to your list because we want to come – I don't know if I'm on your email list, but add me to your list because we definitely want to see you. And I think I friended you on Facebook. I'm going to post how – if you send me all of your notices, I'm going to post it on there for you. But
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I can't wait to come see you. Thank you, everybody. Hey, do you know Joel Richardson, who runs the Comedy Point?
I don't.
Do you know him? Oh, I got to hook you up with him because he books comedians in New York. So I'm going to email me and remind me, and I'll hook you up with him, and you can go do some dates in New York. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Mara, go ahead and say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
We'll see you next week. Bye, Mara Merrick.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.